So, hello. My name is Frederick Harper. No relation with who you are thinking now. So I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft Canada. So part of my role is really to talk technology with you guys, help you to achieve your goal with your project, with what you're trying to do with your career. I'm there to talk about technology and not just Microsoft technology. So I want to talk about everything that is related to web technology as an example. It's really something that I like to talk. If you want to talk about open source, web standard, interoperability, open data, I'm your guy at Microsoft, so feel free to contact me. If you want to tweet during the presentation, please use my Twitter handle, at fharper, of course. And if you have some time, don't go there. Go after my presentation. You can go out of comfortzone.net, or for the lazy people, oocz.net. So this is my personal blog. Sometimes blog post in French, sometimes in English, most of the time in Franglish, like I like to say. So we're in the gaming track. Today I really want to talk about extending your game to add Windows 8 feature. So right before I start, this is also an online event, so we have people online. And we highly suggest you to follow us on Facebook, follow us also on Twitter. We are social, we like social media, so we want to see your comment online, tweet about stuff, go on Facebook. And if you're tweeting, use the hashtag Win8PI. This is the general hashtag for the event. If you want to tweet specifically about this session, use the hashtag also GMG4. And of course, you can also add my Twitter username at fharper. I'm going to be more than happy to comment, to follow you. So feel free to make some comments about the event, about the session, tweet things that I'm going to say during the presentation. And not during the presentation, I'm not going to check Twitter during the presentation, but for sure after, I'm going to check on Twitter and follow up the conversation with you. So I only have 1 hour to talk about Windows 8 features when you are doing your game. So of course, I'm going to talk a little bit about the, it's about the experience, because when you're making a game, there's the gaming part. But since your game's going to be part of the Windows 8 ecosystem, you really need to think about all the cool features that you can have. And those features will be, the user will look for those features. They will look to have the great experience with your application. And this is just another step for you to add on top of your games to just give a great experience to your user. So I only have 1 hour. I'm going to touch some specific topics. I'm going to talk about designing for touch. I'm going to talk about the accelerometer, the snap view, the user profile data. I'm going to talk about some contracts, the search contract, the share contract, and I'm going to talk also about other contracts that would be useful in the game, that could be useful in the game. I'm going to talk about Lifetile, one of the greatest features of Windows 8 and, of course, Windows Phone also. And the last but not least, I'm going to talk about monetizing your application. So you're building a game. Of course, you want users to use it, but I'm pretty sure that you want to make money with your game. So there is a couple of ways to do so. So I'm going to touch some of the ways that you can use to make some money with your application. So first, you probably want to design for touch. And not you probably, you want to design for touch, because even if you can use mouse and keyboard with Windows 8, when you're developing a game for Windows 8, you're developing for multiple form factors. So we can talk about a laptop, like my laptop, no touch. You can talk also about a laptop with touch screen. You can talk about the desktop. You can talk about a tablet, a slate. So there is a lot of hardware. And when you're developing your game, at the end, you're targeting all these devices. And some of them are touch. So what we did with Windows 8 is really, it's a touch-first OS, but it's working well with mouse and keyboard. So when you're going to create your game, you're going to think about the touch device first, and it's going to work with mouse and keyboard also. So when you're designing for touch, what you need to keep in mind is that some people will use tablet and slate. And there is some area that are not like easy to reach. So if you can see on this image, on the screen, the green part is really the easy part. So I'm going to handle my tablet. It's going to be easier for me to touch this area without being uncomfortable. So maybe it's better for you to think about this area when you're doing the game. The yellow one is the part that, yeah, I can reach. Maybe it's not the best experience ever. I need to stretch my fingers, but I'm able to reach the option or reach the control for my game. And the red part is really the part that, like, some people won't have any problem. Some other people, it's going to be less easier. But, of course, I'm not going to be comfortable to touch this area. So you need to think about this when you're building your game, because that's going to make a big difference between a great experience, an okay experience, and really a bad experience. There's also things like if you're doing a game, maybe less action, maybe more about reading stuff or having some quests, some things to read. There is some place, if you look at the image at the right, if you put your text on the top, it's going to be the best place for your text, for your information. In the middle, it's going to be better. In the bottom, it's going to be like okay. But this is on the other way. It's working on the other way when you are doing interaction idea. So things at the bottom will be easier. It will be easier to get these elements with your finger. So you always think about touch when you are building your game. What is great also is that you need to think about natural user interface. So with Windows 8, one of the big things is really to use all the pixels you have on the screen to put the content. So we have the help bar that gives you the opportunity to hide some specific feature or option that you don't need all the time. What we are suggesting to people is really to think about natural user interface. So with that game, I just don't remember the name of that game for now, but to be able to make my little guy here jump on top of these things, I just need to touch the screen. So this is a simple game. My little guy is just running. I need to avoid some problem. I need to jump over the rock. And I don't have a specific control on the screen. I just need to push the screen, and my little guys will jump. So no control, something easy for people. I can touch whatever I want, so whatever I'm comfortable with, I'm going to touch the screen. My little guy will jump. So, of course, this is nice. I'm not losing space on the screen to put some control, and this is one of the ways to do this. So if you can incorporate your controls inside of the interface, it's going to be probably a better experience for your user. What we did with Windows 8 also is that we unify the touch mouse, the pen, and the touch with the finger in a single input. So it's going to be easier for you to develop your application and be able to manage all these things. So you can code for all these things. You have some pointers that you can use, MS pointer down. Those are events that you can add listener to, and you can manage this in your application. And I want to show you what it looked like. So for those of you that were in my presentation yesterday about WinGS, I showed this, I showed this amazing game. Sorry about that. Do this again today. So I shared this little game. So it's an HTML, CSS, JavaScript. So I'm going to focus on these technology today. But it's not just about these technologies. So you can build game with C++, XAML. You can build game with C# and XAML, of course. Today I'm going to talk about HTML5, CSS3, and JavaScript, because you can build Windows 8 application with these technology. It's working really great. And what is great is what is good is that if you're a web developer, you don't have to learn a new technology. So you can use the technology you know, and just learn the WinGS API to be able to get all these features in your game application. So this is a sample that you can get on dev.windows.com. So we have a sample place. There's a lot of samples about specific elements. So this game is really about touch. So this is probably the most complex game that you ever see. So I need to touch the ball as much as possible to make more points. I'm going to touch the ball. And now, because I don't have a touch device, I'm using the mouse. So I'm touching the ball with my mouse. I would have been able to play this with a touch device also. So now I'm game over. I'm going to close the app. Let me show you a little bit the code. So this is, show this. This is my application I open up in Visual Studio. I have CSS, I have HTML, I have JavaScript files. So if I go at my game, nothing so complex now, with a lot of logics around the game. If I go on default.html, I'm going to see that I have my code here. So I'm loading my JavaScript file. I have my app bar. So this is the kind of game that you're looking for. If I'm going on touchpanel.js, what you're going to see there is that I had some event listener to my canvas. So actually, I have a canvas in my application that is used to move the ball and display the ball on the screen. And what I did there is that I used the MS pointer down, up, the move, the out, and the MS pointer cancel. So those are actions that at some point will be triggered when I click with my mouse or when I touch with my finger or if I use the pen to play the game. So those are not specific to one pointer. So this is really great because you can manage this. You can manage these events to get all the pointers. So we really make things simple. When it's about taking the touch action in our application. There is one thing that you can really think when you're doing your game is really to use the accelerometer. So what is great? Let me show you first the game that I shown yesterday. So the Yeti ball game. I'm going to open the game in Visual Studio. So for those of you that were not there in my session yesterday, so this is a game that what we did first, it was an HTML game for the web. So we took the game, we create a solution, we create a project in Visual Studio. We took all our files, we put it in the project to create my Visual Studio project. We just changed some element, and we had a Windows 8 application. Of course, at that point, it was not the best application ever that you would have been able to have on Windows 8. It was just a quick port of the game. But it was easy for me to port the game because I didn't use a lot of third-party libraries. It was a game that I made myself. So I just opened up Visual Studio, transferred the file, and I had a Windows 8 application. What I did after, I had some features specific by using WinJS, the JavaScript library. And after this, I started to add Windows 8 specific feature, like some of the feature that I'm going to show you during my presentation. But as you can see, this is a CSS, JavaScript. So this is HTML5 games. I have some JavaScript for all my elements. I have some media, some sounds, and images. And I have my HTML page in my application. So I'm going to launch the application. So this is really an HTML5 game, so you see nice looking graphics, and everything is in HTML, JavaScript, and CSS. I'm going to show you more options later. Now I'm going to start the game, and this is a little, what we call the casual game. So this is a game like Angry Bird. You're taking probably too much time to play with these games sometimes. I don't know for you, but I'm taking a lot of time. Just before presentation, when I'm testing this game, I'm playing a little too much. So this game was a little nice game. I have some snow, I have some wind. The goal is really to, I have some hikers that are trying to go on top of my mountain, and I am the Yeti, and I want to kill those hikers. So this is a little bit with violence, but I just lost. So simple game with the snowball, try to hit the hikers. On the bottom of the game, I have my action button. For the snowball, I can use the arrow to make my snowball go to the left, to the right. So this is a nice little game when you play with the touch device, with your finger, or you can also play with the mouse like I just did. But what would be great is really to use the accelerometer. So I'm going to stop this game. Got to go back there. And what would be great is that, okay, I have my ball that I can move with the arrow. But what happens if I have a device that have an accelerometer? So I would be able to use the accelerometer. So with my tablet, I'm going to be able to move my snowball to hit the Yeti. So it's going to be a total new experience for the user because you're going to be able to really use the tablet to move the snowball. And what I will have to do is that I will have to add an event listener on the rating change event. And after this, the device windows will tell me when the device moved with the accelerometer. At some point, what is great also, I'm not going to go too deep with the accelerometer because I really want you to try it and test it in your application. And since it's not quite easy for me to show you this now, one of the options that is really nice is that you can play with the minimum report interval time. So of course, for some of the application, you don't need something really quick. You just need to once in a while know when the accelerometer, when the device just changed orientation. But in that case, what I can do, because it's a game, because I want my snowball to be really reactive about with the device change, so what I can do is really go on my code, and I'm going to be able to, in my case, I think that 16 milliseconds would be more than enough to have my data for my game. If it's bigger, if it took more time, what I will do, I will just go use the windows.device.sensors.accelerometer. I'm going to get the default accelerometer for my device, and I'm going to say, okay, if I have an accelerometer in my device, I'm going to check the minimum report interval, and if it's more than 16 milliseconds, I think that it's going to be too slow for my game, I'm going to put it to 16 milliseconds. So it's going to be a way for me to be sure that I'm going to get the data as quick as possible to be able to move my snowball when I'm going to move my device. One of the other feature that you really want to implement in your game, and actually it's not a choice. You don't have the choice to implement the snap view. If you want to, at some point, you will submit your application to the Windows Store. And part of the certification process is that you need to implement the snap view. So you don't have the choice. You don't need to have a big implementation. So what you can see is that if you use the Windows Store on Windows, if you snap the Windows Store, we decide that maybe in this part of the screen, maybe you don't have enough space to have a really nice experience in the store. So what we said is that we just put a nice logo, and you need to unsnap the application to be able to use the store. So what you can do in your game, I saw some games that when you snap the game, it's just pause the game, and it makes sense because at some point you may not want to let the user play only in this little space of the screen. What I did with Yeti Bold is that what we did, we use what we call media queries. So this is a new feature with CSS3 and HTML5. And with this, there is some philosophy like responsive web design that came. And you can use this philosophy to manage some of the specific use states in Windows 8. So in my case, what I did is that I put the display none to my element, my window when I'm snapped. It's probably a div in my case. And what I did, I said, okay, if my media is a screen, so this is something that you will do if you are creating a web page, and I say if and this is something specific for window, and -ms-view state is the snap view, so you won't have to take care about the width because it's usually what you're going to do when you're developing for a web application in HTML5 is that you're going to take care about the width of the screen to execute some of different element in the CSS style sheet, in the CSS, sorry. In that case, we have -ms-view-state. You just need to specify that it's going to be in the snap view. And if it's going to be in the snap view, what I'm going to do, I'm going to hide my content host, and I'm going to show my snap view. So this is a way to do it. You have many other ways. But just think about media queries has, for me, it's really has having some if and else statement in my CSS. So a real powerful feature of HTML5, one of my preferred one, I would say. And what we decide to do with Yeti Bold, we just decide to show the I score of people. So of the player that played before, we display the, so we pause the game, and we display the I score. And there is a way for me to do this also in JavaScript if I want, like I said, if I want to pause the game. So I'm going to be able to get the actual view state of the screen. And I'm going to say, OK, if my new state on my screen equals snap, so that means that my application has been snapped by the user, I'm going to be able to have some logic. So in my case, I'm going to be able to pause the application. And what is great is that you can give any experience you want to the user. I chat with one of the developers that is building a game during the hackathon now, and he just told me that in the snap view in his game, you're going to do like a mini game. So this is a really great idea because probably most of the people, if you snap it, probably you're not going to play because you're going to do something else with the rest of the screen with your second application that's going to be on your screen. But this is a nice way to use the snap view. So people's going to be able to use it. They're going to be able to play a little game. And it's going to be a good way to implement the snap view. But keep in mind that you really don't have the choice to implement the snap view even in a game. So that doesn't mean that you need to do something really complex. You just need to do something with your game. One of the other options that I would be able to use in my application is to get the user profile data. So when you log in Windows, you actually have a profile data that applications are able to get. So in my case, what I'm going to do, I'm going to do windows.system.userprofile.userinformation, and I'm going to get, for my application, I want to get the account pictures. So you know when you're in Windows, in the corner there, I have my little picture. So this is a draw of me that someone did in the past. I really like it. And this is my picture for my Windows account. So what I'm going to do in my case, I want to use the picture for something special. I'm going to show you right after. But what I'm going to receive is not what I really need to create an image. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to create an image. And I'm going to use the create object URL with the user pic that I got from my account picture. And I'm going to put this in the SRC of my image. So that's going to give me my image that I'm going to be able to use in my code right after. So just let me show you what's going to happen. Sorry. So I'm still in my game. And what you can see now is that the Yeti, with this function, what I did is that I was able to go get my picture. So now my Yeti have the picture of my user login. So that makes the game a little more personal. Let me go back to the game. So just a way to make the game more personal. So if I play the game, you probably don't see it yet because I have a ball. But if I go, oh, that doesn't work. OK. If you look at the top of the screen, the Yeti has my face. So OK, at that time, maybe what I want to do is maybe to be able to crop the image or just change the image. But now the only thing that I did is that I get the user profile picture, and I incorporate this in the game. So I am now the Yeti. I think about, for me, maybe it's not a big difference. I'm not like that selfish. But maybe it could be cool, like if you're making this gameplay on for your child. So you create an account for them, and they are the Yeti. So they're going to make the game a little more fun. They're going to have, I think, really more fun because it's something more personal. So this is a way. This is something that you have access to. So think about this. Sometimes when you're creating a game, you're giving the opportunity to the user to create their own little guys that's going to go to some action in your game. So this is a way for you to make things more personal in the game. But of course, it's good also for application or anything else that you want to do. In my case, maybe I just don't want to use my picture profile. And there is something that we call the contact contract. So there is a lot of contract that we give access to the user. So we did all the hard work to be able to implement some element in Windows 8. And it's really not that hard to implement. So I have what I call the contact picker. So it's going to wait for me. It's going to be a UI. And I'm going to be able to go get some information from my contact in my computer. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to do windows.applicationmodel.contacts.contactpicker. And I'm going to create, I'm going to call the function, pick single contact sync. because I want to be able to do other stuff during that time. And I'm going to do what I want to do with the information. In my case, what I want to do in my application is that I want to do basically the same thing that I did with my account picture, but now I want to make the icons more personal. So I want to be able to drop the snowball to the people I know. Maybe a little bit static, but I just want to do this in my game. It's going to be more fun. It's going to be a best experience. So what I did basically the same thing. I go get my thumbnail of my application. And for those of you that were there yesterday, we had a template for creating the icons. So I'm not going to go more deep in this. You can watch the other video. But in face underscore IMG, I'm going to assign my thumbnail for my contact to my source of my image. So let me show you what will happen in the game. So first, what I can show you is that in Windows 8, you have something called the People Hub. So in my People Hub, in my case, what is great is that if I go in my option, you know that I connected my Microsoft account. I have not my Microsoft, but my Windows Live account. By the way, don't send me emails there. I don't read emails in this account. I connected my Facebook, my Gmail, my LinkedIn, my Microsoft email, my personal email, my Skype, my Twitter. I have access to all these accounts. And what is great is that when I go in my People Hub, and it's the same thing on a Windows phone, is that I have access to mostly everybody. Like, I scroll too fast. There is too many people. Maybe I'm a social guy. So I have all my contacts in the same place. So this is really easy for me to get in touch with people. So this is a really nice feature in Windows as a user. But as a developer, I can also take the opportunity to use this in my application. So I'm starting my application. Remember, I have some hikers that try to go on top of my mountain. If I go edit hikers, in my case, this is the first time that I'm editing hikers, so I have my three default one, my three John Smith. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to create a new hiker. So what I'm going to do, I can change the color. I just give the opportunity to have four color to the user. I'm going to give a name. Oh, just before giving a name, I'm going to get the photo. So when I'm clicking photo, I have two options. So I can select a file that I have on my computer. But what I'm going to do now, I can select a contact. So I'm going to go select a contact. The contact picker is going to show up. So this is basically the same interface that I had before. And I'm going to choose someone that's going to be my hiker. I really like Adam's face. So this is one of my coworkers. So Adam's going to be one of my hikers. So that's going to be a little more personal. So I hope Adam's not listening to my presentation now. I don't want you any problem. I don't want to hurt you. It's just a game. So now I have a new hiker named Adam with my picture. So this is some basic stuff. I didn't give the opportunity to the user to modify the picture or just crop the picture. So this is the first basic implementation of my hiker. So if I go in my game, I'm going to play my game. I'm going to try to get some hikers. So I just get a default hiker. I have another default one. And at some point, I'm going to have Adam in my game. This is a random function, so I cannot know when Adam's going to be there. But I hope really soon. Where is Adam? OK, this is the time that, OK, I just lost. OK, this is the moment that I'm saying, trust me, at some point, Adam's going to be there. So I'm going to have my specific hikers. I use the contact picker to the game to add the picture in my game. So it makes the games even more personal. So this is something that you can do in your game to really change the experience for the user. So this is not something complicated to implement. This is not something that you need to do. But just to know that these options are there, it's nice to know. And of course, it's not just about picture. You can do other stuff with the contact picker for sure. One of the other things that could be really great is really to use the share contract. So this is another contract that we implement in Windows 8. This is a big statement. I don't think that I'm committing myself on this. People love to share. Like, I love to share. I love to share with people, and it's probably why social medias are working so greatly. We want to share with people on Twitter, on Facebook, on LinkedIn. We want to send email. When we find something good, we want to share with people. When we did something good, we want to share. So it's not just something about the internet. It's about everything. We created the share contract to be able really to share easily between application and between games. Because in the past, if I had a game and I had my iScore and I wanted to share my iScore with other people, as an example, on Twitter, what I had to do is really to implement, I had to create the Twitter use the Twitter API in my application to be able to tweet directly from my application. Or I had to get people on the website, and it was not quite easy. I had to create basically everything on my site. So what is great is that we created the share contract, and you don't need to know which kind of application will be able to use what you want to share, or which kind of application will send you some information. So if I wanted to share information with another application, I had to create something custom. I had to be sure that another application would be able to get this data. So how is it working is that I'm going to register data transfer manager. In my case, from source to target, I'm going to receive an event that the user wants to share data with another application. I don't have to care about what is the other application. What I'm going to do, I'm going to fill what I have to share with other people, and I'm going to send the information to Windows. And Windows will take care of the rest. So let me show you how is it working just before going further. So I'm still back in my application. So what I want to do, I have some iCurves. I'm going to use John Smith. I'm going to just modify it a little bit. John Smith the second. And okay, I can put a picture. I'm going to change, not always Adam. I'm going to put Hal. Great guy in Toronto, all. If you want to talk about WordPress, you need to talk to Hal. Sorry about this, Al. I'm going to use you for an example. So in my charm bar, so I have what I call the share contract, the share charm. So as a user, I am in my application. I said, oh my god, this is funny. I use Al to make a hiker. I want to tell Al that I'm going to try to kill him in my game. So I'm going to use the share contract. And in my case, what I want to share is a picture element. So this is a picture that I created. My application only create the picture element in the data transfer the data to my other application. And Windows did the rest. So Windows received this element. Windows knows what I want to share. And what Windows will do is that it will list all the applications in my application that can handle this type of data. So in my case, I have two applications. I have OneNote and Mail. So I'm going to push Mail. And what you're going to see is that I have my picture of Al that I can share with other people. So this is an easy way for me. I didn't have to think about, oh, is it Mail that's going to be to handle this? I let the user choose the right application to share the data with people. So I can send an email to whatever I want, and I can just send an email to Al and let him know that I'm using it. I'm using him in my game. Just going to stop this. What is good is that I told you that you don't really have to take care about which application will take care of my data, is that because I have some default data package. So I'm going to be able to share plain text, formatted text, URI, HTML, images, and files. And of course, if I have some more complex needs, I'm going to be able to share custom data formats. So I'm going to be able to create my own package of data. But at that point, I'm going to be able to find I need to know that there is an application somewhere that's going to be able to handle this custom data. So most of the time, what we want to share are the default package. So we know that at some point, there is, of course, an application that manages this type of data. And really, to be able to share information from my application, from my game to another game or another application, like in my case, what I did is that I created the data transfer manager. I had an event listener on that I requested. So I will receive this event when the user is going to go in the share charm and going to push share. So my application, the application that is in front, that is the application which is live on my machine at that time, is going to receive this event. And after this, I'm going to be able to use the get the request from the user, and I'm going to populate the data. So there is some properties that I can populate, the title, the description, the thumbnail. And after this, I'm going to be able to use these methods to, if I want to set text, set HTML, set bitmap, set a link. And after this, I'm going to push the information to Windows, and Windows is going to get the data, and it's going to transfer my data package. It's going to transfer my data to the other application. So this is a quick example on how I could do this. So this is a simple example. I put a title, I put a description, and I decide to share some text. So this is good if the people like select something in your application, you're doing a newsletter, or you're doing a game and you want people to be able to share their iScore. So you can use the share contracts and you can be a share source to be able to share data with other people. What you can do also, and maybe that would make sense for a game, maybe not. So I just want to share about this share, to just talk to you about this share, because that could be a great way to do this in your application. So maybe your game is going to receive some specific stuff from other application. So you can be a share target, because there is the way that you take the data you share with one application, but there is the other way. There is application that would need to get the data and do something with it. So in my case, first things that I'm going to do, I'm going to go in my app manifest file. So this is the file that I shown a little bit at the beginning for those of you that were there yesterday. So I have my AppX manifest file, and I can go there, and I can view the code. This is basically some XML format, and I'm going to add some code in it. So this is the place where I put all the settings of my application. So what I'm going to do in my manifest file, I'm going to put some information about what kind of data that I'm trying to receive from people. So in my case, in one of my applications, I'm going to add the extension, and I'm going to say I'm going to support JPEG file and text format. So that's going to tell Windows that if someone's want to share text, my application can handle it. So this is how my application will be listed when the user wants to share something with the application installed on Windows. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to check, have a function activated. And this function is called when my application is activated. And I'm going to see why my application has been activated. Is it because the user opened the application? Is it because the user switched to my application? Or is it because my application has been activated, has a share target, because the user wanted to share something from another application and choose mine to receive the data? So in that case, I'm going to get the information, and I'm going to do whatever I want with the information. So I'm going to do the logic I want to get the data and do whatever I want in my application. What is great with all these share stuff is that this is really simple to implement, and that's give you at some point more opportunity to have your users use your application. Because at some point, if you are a share target and my user wants to share something from another application, my application is listed there, there's a chance that the user will use my application. And it's less complicated than trying to share something, doing some copy-paste, open the other application. Oh, not sure if my application handled what I just copy-paste, what I just copied from the other application. So everything is made behind the wall, and it's working really greatly. So great things to do in your application. Another contracts is the settings contracts. So I need to admit that maybe it's not the sexiest and the coolest things to implement in an application or the game, but you really need to think about this. When we build Windows 8, one of the first statements that we said is that we're going to use all the pixels on the screen to put information. When people use application, they use it to consume information or to create information. And I don't want to lose some space, lose some pixels, to put some settings, to put some features, to put some options that I don't need all the time. So what we did, we created one place where all the settings should be. And this is the same thing for all applications. So we suggest people, we highly recommend people to use the setting page to put all your settings. How can I do this? In my case, I just created a little function. And I said windows.js.application.onSettings. Call this function. What's that happen? And what I did there is that I created an HTML page. That's going to be my page, the page that's going to be pop up when I'm going to call this setting. And the name of my setting is help. After this, I'm going to call winjs.ui settings fileout.populate settings. And I'm going to send my application comment to Windows. So that's going to open my web page. So if I go back to my Yeti application, so as you can see, I took all the screen for the option for the nice graphics. Even if I go to edit icons, I don't have any option there. I only have had a new icon, but this is well implemented in the interface that fits well with the rest. If I want to access some feature, I can do a right click because I don't have a touchscreen. I'm going to have my app bar. So I talked a little more. I talked a little bit about the app bar yesterday. So I'm not going to go further in this, but I have some option. I can have contextual option. So I selected hikers. I have some of my options. So my options are there. They're not there all the time. If I don't need them, they're not there. And this is perfect because I'm using all the screen for what the user really wants, the data, the option, the graphics of my application. So it's really content before Chrome. So what we have in the charm bar also is that we have a setting option. So if I go there, I have, of course, at the bottom, I have the settings for my computer. But at the top, those are specific to Yeti, the Yeti ball, my game. So in my case, I have two settings. I have the permission settings. And in that case, it's an HTML page that is loading. And I have game option. So if I want to put the audio on and the audio off. So it's not complicated options, but this is a way for me to implement this in my application. It's only in one place. I don't have to look everywhere to see where this programmer, this developer put the option of my application. You know, sometimes it's in the edit for in the edit menu. Sometimes it's in the about menu. You never know where the options are. In Windows 8, all the options should be in the setting charm. So easy way, you have this in all application that you fire up. If I go on, I don't know, the weather one. Oh, doesn't work. I need to update the weather one. But if I go to any other application, I'm going to have the settings. Okay, I don't know what's happening with these. So, oh, it's just loading. It's okay. You understand the principle behind it. So all the settings are in the settings charm. Easy way to do it, just create an HTML page of what you want to display, what option you want to show to the user. One of the greatest things of Windows 8 are live tiles. So if I show you a little bit my live tiles, if I go to my main menu, what is really great about this is that Windows 8 is not just about live tile, but when you are having, when you have Windows 8 application. So I'm not talking about these, like those are desktop version. So those are mainly shortcut to open my application on my desktop. But those are Windows 8 application. And what you can see, if you look at this one, the calendar one, I don't have to open the application to know that my next event is like 2 days from 8 to 6. I have Pure Imagination event. If I go to this is an application that I'm working on for my blog. So what I can see now is that I see all my blog posts, my latest blog posts. So I don't have to fire up the application to know, oh, there is a new blog post. Or, oh, there is a blog post that I didn't read. I can fire up the application. I can open the application. I know that, oh, Windows Store. I have one application to update, probably my weather application that I need to update. It's there. I have all my information on my screen. most of the time I don't have to open the application, but what is really great with the lifetime is that that will give the opportunity to the user to see that, oh, there is something new. I need to open the apps to go. That will motivate the user to open your application and do something. In my case, what I'm going to do in my application, because it's not only for application, it's also for games. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to display some stats. So this is information that I can have inside my application, inside my game. But what would be great to have this in the lifetimes is that at some point, I'm going to scroll on my screen, I'm going to see my game and say, oh yeah, this is why my last high score. I have 5 minutes before my next meeting. Maybe I can try to beat my own score. So that's going to motivate me to use more the application because I'm going to have some more information on my tile instead of having just the icon. So I'm going to call the Windows UI notification, the tile template type. I'm going to set up which template tile that I want to change, and I'm going to put some more information. So I'm not going to go deeper in this. This is not complex to use. There is a lot of way to update the tile. So in my case, I'm going to put some text, and I'm going to create my notification to update the tile. So at some point, what I'm going to have, let me show you with the game, is that I'm going to have a live tile with my game. So this is my game here. Can see. And I know that I have my stats. This is my highest score. I did only 5. I'm not that good. And I killed 7 climbers, 7 hikers. So this is my life tile. This is information that my application, that my game sent to the tile so that update the tiles with the highest score. And you see that I can rotate between different information. So this is a dynamic way to display information to the user. You see this with all those applications also. That just give me the, I really want to use more the application because, oh yeah, okay, high score, I'm gonna, I have, like I said, I have 5 more minutes. I'm gonna play to the game because I feel that I could do a better score. So this is another nice option of Windows 8 that you can add on your game. And I tell you, it's not just about application. I talked to a couple of people and they told me, Lifetile, it's more about like RSS news readers or Twitter clients. And it's really good for gaming. So what I did with my game, I put iScore. You can put whatever you want that would make sense in your Lifetile. One of the important part when you are doing a game is to get money at some point. We want to build something. We want to, sometimes it's just for fun, just for the pleasure of doing a game. Most of the time when we are developing a game is really to, at some point, make some money. I told that there is a really great opportunity with Windows 8 because there is a lot of Windows 7 users. Even if half of these people update to Windows 8, it's going to be a huge opportunity, one of the biggest opportunity for a platform. Even if you talk about iOS, even if you talk about Android, don't get me wrong, those are a really nice platform. But if you're thinking about the Windows 8 opportunity, this is the huge opportunity. What is great is that you have many ways to get money with your games or your application. So there is option like the one-time purchase. So you put a price to your application, and you sell your application. There is other way like in-app purchasers. Sorry about that. You can give your game for free or charge for your game. And in your game, there is like maybe different level. Like Grand Scanner did with Pirate Love Daisy is that they took his web game, his HTML5, CSS3, and JavaScript web games. He created Windows 8 apps with it, and he gave it for free. He gave the game for free. He gave the game for free. The levels that were there before, they're there for free. But what he did, he had some new level, and if you want to play to new level, you have to pay maybe 90 cents per level. But it's a way for him to get the people in the game. And of course, people are going to play the game, you're going to go addict, and you want to play more, you want to play more levels, so you're going to pay for these new levels. So this is a way to get some money. What is great also is that you can put some trials to get people to play your game, and at some point, oh, you want to play more, or I want these new features, you need to buy the application. And another way is really to use ads. So let me talk about trials. what we saw with the Windows Phone platform. So it's not with the Windows 8 because it's fairly new, but what we saw in the Windows Phone platform, and we think that it will make sense for Windows 8 also, is that if you are giving a trials to people, so if you want to sell your application, you don't want to give it for free, I think it will make sense to make a trials. We saw that there is 70 more times download with the trials. That gives you a 10% conversion. So usually, 1 people on 10 people that will get the trials will buy your application at some point. So that will give you 10 more times the revenue that you would have if you wouldn't use the trials. So you have the choice. We don't force you to make any trials. You can just sell your application. But of course, this is a good way to get people to use your application and at some point get people to buy your application. And what is great is that, of course, there is 2 ways to implement your trial in your application. So you can just put a trial that is time limited. So I'm going to be able to use your game, play your game, do whatever I want with your game. I'm going to have all the features, but I'm going to be able to play for 3 days, 4 days, 7 days. So I can limit the time, and this is a way to implement trials. There's also about trials about features. So you're going to see this. This is nothing new. This is nothing magic. You see this in a lot of applications. You get a free access for as long as you want, but you don't have all the features. So that could be that you have an amazing game. You have the 2 first level for whatever you want, how many time you want. You can play as long as you want. But if you want to play for to the 3rd level, you need to buy the application. And this is really, really hard, really, really hard to implement this in your application. You don't even have to code. You go in the Windows Store. When you deploy your application, first you can set up the price. And if you want to make some trials, you have some option. So you can say no trials. You can choose trial never expires. 1 day, 7 days, 40 days, 1 month. So this is your choice. But you don't have to code. It's really in the Windows Store interface. What is great also is that at some point, you want, if you decide to do like feature limited and the user is having your trial, there is no way of doing 2 versions. You see this on some platform. There is a free version, a trial version, a full version, and you need to download a new application. I don't think this is the best way to do. What you can do is directly in the code, you can detect if the user is using the trial of your application or if he buy the full version of your application. So in my case, really simple, when the user buy my application, I'm going to enable all the feature because it's what I decide to do in my game. So I'm not going to have to, the user not going to have to download something new. It's really going to be like in my code, I'm going to modify my application and just enable some features, some options, some levels, some characters in my application, just by detecting this with the code. Another way to make money, some people are making games free, and they put ads. So this is a way, for those of you that were in the keynote yesterday, we had someone at Microsoft that were there to talk about our ad system. What is great is that we really make it easy. I don't remember the name of the guy from Microsoft who talked about this, but he was not lying. This is really easy to have some ads in your game. So I only need to go to get the SDK, the ad SDK from Windows 8. I'm going to get the JavaScript library in my application. And after this, I'm going to put the div. And I'm going to be able to define what kind of ads that I want in my application. So really easy to do. You can also do this if you have a free game or a free application and want to get money with ads. So this is a way. Or you can do this also with your trial. Like at some point, you can have a trial. Even if it's time limited, feature limited, you still want to put some ads. And at some point, if the user buy your application, you remove the ads. You can still keep the ads also if you want in a paid application. It's not something common, but this is something that you can do. One last way to get some money with your application is the in-app purchase. So you can, in the code, had a way to buy new level, buy new characters, buy new superpower for your characters in your application. So the user will have to pay for specific things. And we see this more and more in the application. This is a way to get money. This is a way to make money with your application. So even if your application is free or not, there is a way for you to do this. And what is great is that you don't have to use our system to do this. Like, there is an easy way to do this in our system, but what you can do is that you can use your own e-commerce system. And at some point, we're not going to make any money with this because you're going to use a third-party system. So we don't restrict you to use our stuff. You can even make your application free, and people's going to have to go to your website to pay for the application, and we're not going to make any money. What we suggest to you is that if you can use our system, it's going to be easier because everything is there, everything is easy to use. And, of course, at some point, we're going to make some money. We're going to take a percentage of the money that you're going to get to be able to pay for the infrastructure and the people that are behind it. But this is some way to go, some way to make your money. And one of the things that I don't have on my slide, but that I think that is really, really important, is that for those of you that are developers, you need also to think about marketing. You need to think about promoting your app. So you have a really great way to do this with the Windows Store. It's a really great opportunity for you, but you still need to have a website, maybe be present on social media, go to talk to people, do some promotion around your games and around your application to get just more people to use your application. So it was a quick overview of some of the Windows 8 feature that you want to think about when you're going to build your Windows 8 games. And after this, this is not the end of the world. This is not the end of your game. There is other things that you can add in your application. So if you think about my games, my Icarus, my Yeti Bowl games, I would be able to add combo system. I could keep track of the Icar, and if with my snowball I hit 3 Icars at the same time with the 1 snowball, I'm going to get more points. I would be able to add power-ups item. So I have 1 snowball that kill 1 Icar or 2 Icar, depending. I could have my super fire snowball that would kill like all the Icars that are like nearly, I don't know, 1 centimeter from the ball. So that would be another option. I would be able to have different Icars. Now my Icars were always doing the same path. I would have maybe Icars that would be able to, I don't know, go straight forward to the top of the mountain. So this is a way for me. And of course, I can have different levels. So I only had 1 level in my game. I would be able to implement more level in my application. Of course, those are suggestions for your game if you want to continue and do a kind of Yeti ball game. There's also other Windows feature that I would be able to have. So I had a share contract for sharing my Yeti. Could be cool to be able to share a screenshot of my game. I would be able to implement this with the Share Charm. I would be able to customize the style of the hub bar. My hub bar was pretty normal. It was black with my feature. I would be able to make it more part of my UI of my game. I told you in-app purchases. So I would be able to buy this super fire snowball that I would add to my application. When I had the picture of people to my Yeti, or my picture to the Yeti, or the picture to the Icars, the experience was good. I was able to personalize the game, but it would be great if I would be able to crop or just edit the image or just draw my picture to make it more, I don't know, awful, or just to make the game a little more nice. And of course, I would be able to add more settings to my application. So there is a lot of Windows feature that you can add. It's not just about JavaScript. I was giving an example with JavaScript. You can do all the same things if you use C++ plus XAML or if you use C# plus XAML. One last thing, you probably heard a lot about this during our event, the developer movement. Go to developermovement.ca. This is a really nice program. You sign up, you get some point. You develop application, Windows 8 application, Windows Phone application, Windows 8, Windows Azure. You get more points. And after this, you use your points to get some free cool stuff. That goes from T-shirt to laptop to Xbox game to Xbox device, the actual Xbox, to Kinect, to TV. More apps you're doing, more price you have chance to get. So just go register. It's free. For those of you that saw the presentation from Grant Skinner yesterday about CreateJS, at Microsoft Canada, we really like CreateJS, so we're going to do some workshop really soon. It's a great library for JavaScript developer. If you want to build application, mostly game, but it's good also for application, you can use CreateJS. Go on aka.ms/CreateJS workshops and just register there, and we're going to send you an email when we're going to do the workshop in Canada. So it's going to be a pretty awesome workshop. Last but not least, sorry for those that were there yesterday, but I really feel that those are the four best resources that you can have if you want to build a game. First one, dev.windows.com. Best resources for everything around Windows 8 development. We have samples, we have documentation, we have a lot of great things. Build New Games, a new blog for game developers. Really nice for everything specific really about gaming, all the engine, collision detection, all these things. The two others are videos that we did at Build, really nice videos. Go check these videos. They're great to learn how to build game also. If you plan to do Windows 8 games, you're doing Windows 8 games right now, please let me know. I will be more than happy to help you promote the game, to showcase the game on webnotwar.ca, to do an interview with you or your team to know about your experience, know how you feel about the Windows 8 platform, how you did, how you created your game. Of course, the session evaluation, I just want to remember you that we are not keeping any information. You can read all the slides if you want. We're using Poll Everywhere, so we're not keeping your data. And we early encourage you to do session evals. So specific to my session, you can go to win8pi.ca/gmg4eval. This is the code for my presentation. It's really important for us. You can leave things for the overall experience, the overall event. About this presentation, it helped me to know what I need to change in my presentation, what I need to keep. If I was boring, let me know. If it was interesting, if it was valuable for you, let us know. Also, it's really great. We're going to read this feedback for sure. So just before taking some questions, fredh@microsoft.com, please send me an email if you have any questions. My role is not about doing technical support, but I can give you the right resources. I'm there to talk about technology. I'm there to help you with your project. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter, @fharper. I'm going to go read the comments after the event. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. If we have the chance after the presentation or before during the weekend to connect in person, please feel free to add me on Facebook also. Webnotwar.ca, really important, really nice blog. It's a blog at Microsoft. It's the blog for Make Webnotwar. You probably know the brand. We did a lot of events. It's a really nice community around open source, open data, interoperability, web standard. We just launched a newsletter, so all valuable information. I don't take emails or that. If it's not spam, and it's great information, we believe in this. Of course, last but not least, OOCZ.net, outofcomfortzone.net, my personal blog. I'm going to post some resources around my presentation on this blog. So I think I have time for maybe one question, if you have one question. Yeah?
If you're playing multiplayer games over the internet,
yeah, so for those people online, the question is about if you're doing a Windows 8 game that like kind of multiplayer game, is there an easy way to kind of share data between applications? So I would say there is probably two good ways to do this. So one would be maybe to use WebSockets if you're doing HTML. Another way that would be less specific about technology is to use something like Windows Azure. So you would be able to use the, how do you call this, the service bus messaging. I'm not quite sure about the term. I can come back on this. But basically, you use Windows Azure, and your first application is going to push information to Azure. The second one is going to be notified when you will have new information, new data. So it's going to be an easy way for you to exchange information between your two applications. So I am really a big fan of everything around cloud computing. Of course, a big fan of Windows Azure. So that could be really great to try it. And of course, for Windows Azure, you can have free trials if you go on windowsazure.com. So if you want to test it, see if it makes sense for you, if it makes sense for your application or your game, that could be a really great option to use Windows Azure.
Is there something that would allow this to happen on a larger scale? Some of the games you can have
Yeah, so the question is it good for a big scaling game with a lot of multiple player? Of course, yes. So this is what the cloud is. You can really easily scale in, scale out with the cloud computing. So I would highly suggest to go with this. Of course, you can use whatever you want if you have a server also. But I would suggest to go with the cloud, and you would be able to use it for a huge application that have a lot of players. So the question is, what would be the cost to use Windows Azure for this kind of things? I don't have like a specific cost, because when you're talking about the cloud, you really pay for what you use. So there is no fixed cost. You need to know how many bandwidth you're going to use, what is the size of the VM that you're going to use, how many data you're going to transfer. So what I would suggest you is to go on WindowsAzure.com. There is a tool to help you to determine what kind of price that it would cost you to use this technology. So you're going to be able to specify, you just need to evaluate how much data, what would it take to make my app run and exchange data with Windows Azure. And you're going to be able to have a monthly price on what you would be able to use. But I would say the first step, just go try it first to see if it makes sense for you. There's a free trial, you don't have to pay. And you're going to be able to do your test, develop maybe a first version of your application. And after this, you can just go further and maybe pay for the service and just check with the tool if the price makes sense for you. So if you have more questions, I'm going to be there after the session. I need to leave the podium for the next speaker. So thanks a lot. I hope it was valuable for you, for the people online also. And I hope you're going to be really excited about creating gaming games for Windows 8. So thanks a lot.